It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I thank each and every one of you for joining us today. You are each treasured, valued. You have a purpose. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. We have a very important show planned for you today. In studio with me is one of my valued partners, and that is Susan Kochevar. She's an entrepreneur and owner of 88 Drive-In Theater. Susan, it is so good to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
We've got a lot to talk about.
There's a lot.
When we started on this journey together, and we looked at these issues as freedom versus force, I'm just shocked that here we are on this Tuesday morning, January 12, 2021, and we're looking at a complete assault on our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights were put in place, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of press, freedom of religion. I'm just shocked what's going on.
I am too. You know, we talked about this for a long time, and of course, we've been working with groups that educate people on the Constitution and why those rights are so important. But I will say it just creeped up, didn't it? And it just grabbed everyone all at once.
It did and it didn't. I've actually recognized this for, at least the early 80s. But it's been a real process. It was percolating underneath the surface. And to use the term from Kevin Lundberg and Charles Heatherly's book, Unmasked 2020, this has been unmasked. We now know what is going on out there, and it's like, what do we do about it?
Yeah, if you're a student of history, you've certainly seen this coming. And I know throughout my life, there's been a lot of people that thought I was kind of a kook. And now I bet a few of them are rethinking, I remember when she said that.
They're thinking you may be brilliant, huh?
I do a lot of reading, and you know, we have a good friend that says, man is man and will always be man. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of applies. That's the importance of reading history, because you see the things that happened, and you have to watch for those things in the future.
Right. And I agree with you. There were some times where I would say something in a group, and it was a little showstopper, and it's like, but it seems like it's as plain as the broadside of a barn to me. But it's been a journey to get to this point where we are working in the show to look at these issues, to help you get your brain around these issues so that you can recognize them and that you can address them in the battle of ideas. Ultimately, this is a battle of ideas, and this idea of the founding of that all men are created equal. It's not an idea. It's actually true.
Right.
And that we have these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That was radical when the founders decided to have that as our vision. Steve, I see you have your ears on. You may want to say something.
Well, I think what you guys just said, what was that phrase again? Man is man.
And will always be man.
Okay. I liken it to, in terms of computer software, human nature 1.0 has never been improved upon. You know, normally software comes out and there's revisions and releases as it goes, and we make changes, we make improvements. But human nature has never been changed. It's the same revision release that we've had from the very beginning, and it's not good.
And progressives have thought that they could progress, that they could evolve, that we could, quote unquote, become better human beings if we became progressive. Take a look at what's going on. Suppression. As we look at these headlines that Patty has provided here, censorship. There's nothing admirable about that whatsoever, Susan.
No, not at all. There's a couple reasons you want people to be able to speak out. You might get a new great idea. You learn a lot of stuff, and then you can also tell who other people are and what their intentions are. That's why free speech is so important.
Definitely. And it's so we'll talk about censorship in the second segment. Third and fourth segment is going to be super interesting. Dr. Michael Rechtenwald has been doing some essays in Mises.org regarding the Great Reset. And it has actually had a number of different names. With the COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, those that have wanted to reset humanity, how we live, they are very busy. You will not want to miss the third and fourth segment. That voice that you heard just a moment ago was producer Steve. I get to work with a great team, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And we need to always think about what we're grateful for. Susan, I have taken the little things for granted. Turning on the lights, having that cup of coffee in the morning. I've taken, being with people that I care about, that I love. I have taken it for granted, but I'm not going to do that anymore.
No, there's so much. I want my old life back. I miss everyone. And yeah, I can think back to those happier times.
Yes.
I don't think I appreciated them like I should have.
Yes, we're really realizing how special those were. One of the things, we brought over America's Veteran Stories to KLZ at the beginning of the year. And I would recommend that you check that out. It's on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7 FM, Sundays from 3 to 4. We will be pre-recording our show for Sunday a little bit later with a guy that I just am really blessed with, people bringing these guests to me. And he was a World War II veteran, got in at the end of the war. He was a pilot, and then he fought in Korea and in Vietnam. So, producer Steve, I know that you are on the edge of your seat to record this a little bit later today.
We can't say enough about these guys and their stories and the importance of making sure that we have these recordings, these archives, because back to what you guys, it all ties back to what you already said, knowing a little bit about history and not making sure that, it gets out there, and heaven forbid that this stuff would ever be suppressed.
Heaven forbid, that's for sure. And we do stand on the shoulders of giants. Susan, as we look at what's happening in our country right now, I think about those before us that have put it all on the line to preserve liberty, to preserve this vision of that we're all created equal with these rights of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. And those that have put it on the line starting in 1776 and before, and you go through our history, we're at a precipice right now, but we don't want them, their blood and treasure to have been in vain.
No, we don't. The stories are so valuable.
And it's been an honor to get to bring those forth to you. My friends, we look at these issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And if your idea is such a great idea, you shouldn't have to suppress other ideas either, Susan.
That's right.
Ha ha. Our quote for today, this was George Washington. I'm not sure, Steve, if I've ever heard this before, but we know him. He was our first president. He led the Patriot forces to a victory over the British in our war for independence. He presided at the Constitutional Convention in 1787, and he said this. He said, government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And that word fearful, I cannot tell you how many people I am running into that are fearful of our government, of politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. When we're in that situation, we are in a very difficult situation. Susan, your thoughts on that?
No, completely agree. And the hard part is to tell exactly how many of those people there are that you're fighting. I actually think there are a lot more good people than we know.
Mm-hmm.
There's just enough of them. And it's sort of given some people who like to give other people a hard time an excuse.
It is. And just very quickly, I had finished my op-ed, Hotel California, Colorado's five-star state certification program.
Right.
And you can get that on my website. And I went through, was ostensibly to get our restaurants and our bars and our taverns and our gyms back open, our middle class, get them back to work. One of the things in there is in order to qualify for this program, the state says that these businesses have to have a sign prominently displayed where people could report to authorities at CDPHE, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, an infraction. And if when we have people reporting other people to authorities with no due process, which is in the Constitution, mm-hmm. without being able to face their accuser, which is also in the Constitution, we're in a difficult situation, very difficult situation. Susan, your thoughts?
For sure. We saw how a customer in one place tried to extort money from a business saying, I'm going to report you to Yelp and ruin your business if you don't give me X for free. Now, that actually went to court. So this opens the door for all that kind of stuff, for extortion of all kinds. You know, if your competitor doesn't want you to run, all they have to do is report you.
And that's happening on both sides of the aisle.
It's bad.
Tell you, let's jump over here with another one of my great partners, and that is Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. And he's in the business of helping people buy and sell businesses. Chris Cantwell, it seems like we talk every couple of weeks, and I just can't even believe some of the stuff that's happening out there. What do you see?
Well, good morning, Kim, and hello, Susan. Hope you're both doing terrific this morning.
We are. He's one of the most positive people I know. I love that, Chris Cantwell.
Well, I tell you what, you know, such crazy times and such a crazy year. We were just kind of recapping last year for our office, and we ended up having one of our busiest years. We closed on 90 deals, 10 more than last
awesome.
Year, and we only closed maybe 10 in quarter two when the quarantines and shutdowns started happening. So fantastic year for us, just a lot of activity. Certainly there are some businesses that are distressed, but some were unaffected, and some had banner years last year. So it is a busy, busy time for us, and looking forward into 2021, we've got about 200 listings right now. And I've actually got them all in the spreadsheet. If somebody wanted to reach out to me and have me send them our listings, I'm happy to do so. And I'll give you the contact information here in a minute. But we've got about 200 listings right now. We've probably got another 12 or so that we'll bring on in the next few weeks. And I think I touched on this a couple weeks ago, but the SBA right now has got an incentive plan out there to keep business moving along. And if you purchase a business with an SBA-backed loan sometime after February 1st, before September 30th, the SBA is going to make your first 6 months' payments, principal and interest, up to $9,000. And that's an incredible incentive. It's not something that you got to pay back. The SBA is just making those payments for you. So it's going to give you an opportunity to buy a business and put some cash in the bank before you start making those payments.
Chris, I know philosophically I struggle with kind of this free money, if you will. But it, on the other hand, it is an opportunity for people. And I know I struggle a bit with that, but that's where we are with this whole thing, right, Chris?
That is where we are. And yeah, the government loves spending other people's money. And I guess maybe in hindsight, if you think about all the money that you've already paid, now you get an opportunity to maybe get a little back.
Okay.
That would be my optimistic outlook on it, Kim.
Okay. Chris, one other thing I wanted to just really highlight for our listeners, because one of the things when this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption occurred, you made a point in one of our conversations recently that you did not stop. You continued to plow forward. So many of us just felt frozen, but you continued to work forward. And my point is don't give up. And then you ended up having this amazing year. So it may look dark at different points in time, but you've been a real inspiration to not give up, Chris Cantwell.
Yeah, thank you, Kim. And we did. We all worked our tails off. We had clients out there, both buyers and sellers, that needed advice and needed help on deals. And we actually got a statistic from one of the listing websites. So our office, our Transworld office, sold 47% of all deals that were listed in last year.
Wow.
So we did half of the transactions in the in the Denver community of businesses that were sold in the open market.
And the key there, my friends, is to continue to persevere, be determined, and not give up. Chris Cantwell, I find that that spreadsheet would be pretty interesting. How can people get it?
Yeah, they can call me, 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ, or email me or text me, however they want to get in touch with me. All of my contact information is on the KimMonson.com website.
Well, Chris Cantwell, thank you so much, and keep up the great work. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
Okay, we've got Susan Kochevar in studio. Before we go to break, another great partner of mine is Hooters Restaurants. They have 5 locations in the Denver metro area, and they actually have dine-in at the Lone Tree location, then patio dining and curbside pickup at Westminster, Aurora, Loveland, and Colorado Springs. They have specials Wednesday is Wings Day, so tomorrow a great special for that. Lunch specials, kids eat free. Happy hour, to-go specials. When I have friends over, many times I have that just delivered with one of the services. So go to HootersColorado.com for more information. That's HootersColorado.com. We'll be right back. Susan Kochevar is in studio.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. In studio with me is a great. Oh, I have all my partners are great. But in studio with me is Susan Kochevar. She is the owner of 88 Drive-In Theater. She's an entrepreneur. Susan, it's great to have you here.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
How did the last year work out for you at the Drive-In Theater?
It was good. We struggled through it, you know, with old features and stuff. I kind of felt like Lucy and Charlie Brown playing with the football because the movie studios kept saying, oh, we're going to release new pictures. And then, you know, a couple more months would go by and then they'd pull them back farther and farther. And I can always tell when the lockdowns were going to get worse because the first thing that would happen is they say, oh, we're pulling our pictures back, you know, a couple more months. And then the lockdowns would follow. So it kind of seems
you don't
like
think there was any collusion, do you?
Oh, no, not at all. Now they're saying that again. So I'm not sure when we're going to have new pictures, if it'll be.
I'm actually not interested in any new movies myself.
Sometime this summer.
I shouldn't say that. Sorry about that, Susan.
Well, you know, it's just destroying the movie industry. I don't know what the indoors are going to look like. I'm pretty sure the people who grow the popcorn probably aren't growing very much.
Yeah.
Those poor people are probably really struggling, too. You know, I mean, we often see the little business and think, oh, well, you know, it's just that little business is destroyed, but it's not. It's all the suppliers, everybody on the back end of the house also.
The people that make the cups and the popcorn and the hot dogs. And let me walk this back just a little bit regarding movies. I really have been frustrated with these left-wing movie stars. Mm-hmm. And speaking, we were talking about our America's Veterans Story show. I cannot for the life of me understand how some of these big movie stars can make some of these pictures about heroes in World War II or some of the movies, the Christmas movie. I can't understand then how they hate America. I don't quite get it, Susan.
No, I have to say I've noticed that too. They can make a big movie about freedom and somehow that doesn't translate into their thinking. It's really curious. You know, I don't understand how that happens. Hopefully we'll see some. Right, give you know this will give rise to some new smaller studios, and we'll see some interesting new product coming. I'm hoping, but it won't have that big backing by those studios, so you know it probably won't do as much. We were set last year to have our best year ever, and that got crushed.
I've heard that from a number of small business people,
mm-hmm.
and in comes the reaction disruption from COVID, and it seems like they're trying to take out the middle class. But we'll talk with Michael Rechtenwald about that in the third and fourth segment. Let's dissect this whole censorship thing just a bit. Do you not find it astonishing that Twitter is banning the president of the United States? I mean, as you really think about it, from a free speech standpoint, are they afraid of what he's going to say? Do their ideas not match up? I'm just a little shocked, Susan.
The hate seems to be massive, and I don't understand it. You know, he's not the most free market, limited government guy, probably. But, there wasn't even that outpouring of hate for Obama that there is for Donald Trump. I don't understand where that's coming from.
That is so interesting that you would say that, because I was with some friends last night and we were talking about that. And I have two women that have been in my life for many years. And both of them, on separate occasions throughout this last 6 months, have looked me in the eye and said, I hate Donald Trump. And I'm like, it's a head scratcher. I didn't like Obama's policies,
yeah,
but I can't say that I ever hated the man. Steve, you look like you want to say something.
We don't have enough time. It's an illustration of how this culture can shape things. That woman who said to you, I hate Donald Trump, your immediate response needed to be, why? Verbalize it. Tell me. Because this culture and, you know, the mainstream media, late night comedians, that's a misnomer, they have conditioned us. You must hate Donald Trump. It's in style, you know. That's what you must do,
mm-hmm,
with no real follow-up as,
mm-hmm,
to why.
Mm-hmm.
And this culture bought it, hook, line, and sinker. And to bring up, you know, I'm sorry to follow through.
Welcome to the Steve Ebling Show.
We talked about this yesterday. A great meme on Facebook. Oh, funny how this all comes together somehow. And I can't help but think that this must be some type of a Indian saying. You can cut out a man's tongue because you say he's lying, but the possibility exists that you're also afraid of what he has to say.
Yeah, that really pretty well nails it. And that is why the freedom of speech is in the Bill of Rights of the U.S. Constitution.
That's right.
Just because of that. So it's really remarkable. And here we go. Let's see. This was from the Epoch Times. It says, Facebook is removing all content that mentions Stop the Steal ahead of Inauguration Day. And it says that this is from the Wall Street Journal, the progressive purge begins. Where we're seeing people on Thursday and Friday, Facebook and Twitter banned Donald Trump. And it says, given the extraordinary circumstances, some commentators who normally oppose web censorship were untroubled. An exception who deserves to be listed to this is Alexei Navalny, the Russian democracy advocate and scourge of Vladimir Putin, who was poisoned last year. He pointed out that unlike the open election process that ousted Mr. Trump, you know,
yeah,
okay, we'll put that in quotation marks, social media decisions to deplatform elected officials are unaccountable and arbitrary. He says, don't tell me he was banned for violating Twitter rules. I get death threats here every day for many years, and Twitter hasn't banned anyone. Mr. Navalny tweeted. He added that while Twitter is a private company, we have seen many examples in Russia and China of such private companies becoming the state's best friends and enablers when it comes to censorship. And I went a little long on that, Susan, and we may have to re-talk about this, but mention this. So Twitter and Facebook are private companies.
Mm-hmm.
The government, should government force them to carry these people's content because they're private companies? And now we go over to Jack Phillips with Masterpiece Cake Shop, and government wanted to come in and force him to have to make cakes. And I think government force, wherever it is a problem. But Twitter and Facebook, they're so big. I'm struggling with this. I heard from a couple of listeners yesterday. What's your quick thoughts on that? And then we'll ask Jason McBride.
Well, you know, the thing is, we don't have just, it's not just Facebook and Twitter. It's Amazon and Google also. But I think we need a new, we need a counter to them rather than government force. I really understand where everyone's coming from. But every time we get the government in on something, the unintended consequences are massive. And are we just allowing more control on down the line?
Yeah, we do need to look into the future. And isn't it interesting, Susan, how we can have something that's good, this instant communication and all these things at our fingertips, and then it can also be used for ill? One would hope that the heads of these companies would be supporters of free speech. But let's ask Jason McBride. I know he's watching these stocks to see what's happening. I saw that, I think, Twitter, their market share or their market value went down yesterday, Jason. What's your thoughts on all of these public companies and this censorship?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking the exact same thing that you were mentioning, Kim, when you talked about Jack Phillips. And, you know, it seems like if these companies have terms of service and you haven't violated them, then, you know, they don't have a right to really kick you off or punish you if you have followed their rules. And, you know, I don't see a sign on Twitter's door that says we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. In fact, I don't think that sign exists hardly anywhere in America anymore, because you're not allowed to do that, even as a business owner. So I have mixed feelings on it. Like anybody, Kim, I probably wish the government would enforce only the things that would make me happy and not the things that would make me upset. I guess we all kind of feel that way to some degree.
Well, and that's why we have the Constitution, is that government is to be impartial. And these rights of freedom of speech, to Susan's point, it would be ideal if we have a competitor that would reach out or, you know, begin to compete with this. But the other thing is, and I've been in conversation with a friend of mine who says, if we really believe what we believe, then we need to leave these different businesses, Twitter and Facebook. And I need to have a discussion. We've worked really hard to get our presence on Facebook and to the likes that we have. They're all organic likes. But we're going to sit down and have a conversation about that, Jason, because to be doing business with a company that would censor me and not uphold the values of this American idea, I'm really going to need to reassess that. And I wish I was smart enough to immediately come up with a competitor, Jason. What's your final thoughts on all this?
Well, I think it is tough. You could see how intertwined all of these companies have become, where, you know, Parler, for example, was also damaged by Amazon Web Services. I mean, you know, Parler wasn't posting or letting people post on Amazon, but they provided part of just the backbone to them, and apparently they shut that off. So I think it is hard, and you almost need to build your own infrastructure from the ground up, where, you know, somebody can't turn around and take it away from you. So we have a long haul ahead of us to completely escape, you know, the clutches and control of a lot of these companies that have become too big for their own good.
That's for sure. Jason McBride, as you mentioned, I think we need to step back and we need to do everything we can to control our own destinies. And I know that you help people on their financial picture to do that. And how can people reach you, Jason McBride?
Well, if you need to check your plan, have any questions about your investments, your taxes, that type of thing, give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason McBride, you are another great valued partner of the Kim Munson Show. We will talk to you tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Kim. Have a great show.
You bet. And we will be right back. We will be talking with Dr. Michael Rechtenwald regarding the Great Reset. If you haven't heard about it, it's very important that you tune into these next two segments. And in studio with me is Susan Kochevar, entrepreneur and owner of 88 Drive-In Theater. We'll be right back, Susan.
Sounds good.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well and sign up for our weekly newsletter. In studio with me is valued partner, and that is Susan Kochevar. She is an entrepreneur. She is owner of 88 Drive-In Theater. I know you're excited to talk to Dr. Michael Recknewall here in just a moment.
Excited and frightened.
Both. Well, with that, we'll Dr. Michael Recknewall, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
Now, you are a pretty impressive guy. You're an author of 11 books. You were a professor of global liberal studies at NYU from 2008 to 2019. And you are a pundit, a champion of free speech against all forms of authoritarianism and totalitarianism, including socialism, communism, social justice, fascism, and political correctness. You sound like my kind of guy, Michael Recknewall.
Thank you very much.
I actually was doing additional research. You've come out with your third part on this series, but I wanted to talk about the first two. And this is at the Mises Institute, Mises.org. And you're talking about the Great Reset. The title is, What is the Great Reset? Reduced Expectations and Biotechno-Feudalism. I don't like the reduced expectations. A lot of people have not heard of the Great Reset. Set this up for our listeners, Michael.
Yeah, certainly. So this is a propaganda campaign and a kind of a conspiracy, frankly, that is being undertaken and being propagated by the World Economic Forum in connection with the United Nations. What they have in mind is this shift from what is called shareholder capitalism to stakeholder capitalism. And what they mean by this is that they would vest the economy into the shareholder corporations and states. And these shareholders would be in charge of running a brand new economy, a transformation of the economy, such that they would have to meet all these kind of expectations and regulations like from global warming or climate change and many other regulations. And what it would amount to would be also a vast reduction in consumption on the part of most, especially in the United States. So what they have in mind is like a kind of a two-tiered system where you have these shareholders, these stakeholders, rather, in charge of the economy in connection with the state or the government in every country. And basically, it's a global transformation that they're looking at. They want these new stakeholder corporations to be under the control of the government, under the control of a kind of global network of governments, such that they would only produce what is supposed to be produced and not anything else, nothing that is considered dangerous or harmful to the environment, and it really amounts to really, they also push universal basic income. And they said that the COVID crisis is an opportunity to seize to put it into place. And that means to me that what they're saying is the kind of transformation we've seen with the COVID crisis, the loss of small businesses, basically a lot of people put on state funding and effect on kind of welfare, or what they term universal basic income is the way of the future. So what we're looking at is a vast reduction in consumption, a vast reduction in small businesses and mid-sized businesses, investing the economy in a kind of a corporate oligarchy that has control of the entire system. And we see this already being undertaken in response to the COVID-19 crisis.
Okay, Michael, this is so antithetical to the American idea. but this is not, this is not new. When you're using the word stakeholder, I served on the board of a nonprofit that did a lot of refugee resettlement. At the time, I thought it was really Christian-based. I come to find out, once I figured out, that it was really a NGO, a non-governmental organization that was using government funds, quote-unquote, for nonprofit, a variety of different things. But that was one of the first places that I heard the word stakeholder, and that was in the early 90s. And then I served on city council of my city as well, and the many people that had R's behind their names, but they were not standing for private property rights. They seemed to me that they were serving the city more than they were serving the people that live there. And once again, I would hear this word stakeholder all the time. This is the first time I've connected those dots, is when you just said this, Michael. This has been a battle of language for quite some time.
Yes, and we really have to watch out for these words that are floated, because they're really indicative of something. They're talking about a new, greener, fairer economy, more fair. When you hear these words fair and equitable, and they also want to achieve economic equality, whenever you hear terms like this, you must be worried about what effectively is a form of socialism, frankly. There's no question about it. It'll be socialism for those on the bottom, and, you know, exclusive monopoly capitalism for those on top, and really very little in between. That's really what they have in mind. Because they say by 2030, everybody will have no property, but will be happy. That's the goal.
Actually, I started to address this. We had Josh Phillip on with the Epic Times just recently as well, where I saw that headline, that they want to abolish private property by 2030. I mean, that's right around the corner, if you will. And one of the ways that we're seeing that, particularly in many of these states that are run by Democrat governors and, of course, these cities' Democrat mayors, is they have been allowing the destruction of private property either physically or by their rules and their regulations, closing businesses. And it, I mean, I just finished an op-ed regarding this. Colorado has this five-star state certification program that ostensibly it is to get our restaurants and bars and taverns and gyms opened up. And I've named it the Hotel California. You can check in, but you can't check out. And I'm seeing signs of for sale, for lease, space available. And I said, that's going to have to be the new sign instead of Welcome to Colorado, is for sale, for lease, and space available. What's your thoughts on that, Michael?
Well, we've already lost, according to the Foundation for Economic Education, about 50% of our small businesses, thanks to the COVID response by governors and mayors, Democratic mayors and governors across the country. And we'll probably be headed for more losses if there are any further lockdowns. I don't know about your state, really, but here everything is closed. You can't go to a restaurant. You can't go to a bar. You can't go really into anything but these big box stores. Everything else is shuttered. So really, this is already being undertaken, and they said this was a great opportunity to seize upon it. But there's more to it. It has to do also with technology, and the kinds of implementations that they have in mind are mind-boggling, including medical passports that would be digitized and perhaps even, get this now, this is their line, this is their idea, not mine, that would be installed in the brain as chips and would communicate directly to a central database, and also would scan your brain state to tell people what you might be thinking and might do. So, I mean, if that isn't chilling, I don't know what is.
This seems like crazy stuff. But on the other hand, this is coming out of, you mentioned, the World Economic Forum, which is the big meeting at Davos. And
right.
I just perused the guest list on that, the most recent one, and there was like 2,300 people that attended. I know that John Hickenlooper attended a few years ago. But as I looked at it, it's like the head of the New York Stock Exchange, the head of NASDAQ, Jamie Dimon with J.P. Morgan. I mean, the list is somewhat astonishing. And when one of their goals is to get rid of private property rights by 2030, I want to look to these people and say, you're making your livings off of capitalism, this idea that people can come up with an idea and exchange value for value. I'm a little concerned, Michael. Why aren't these lions of industry standing up for the American people?
Well, they're looking at China as the model. Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, has said China is the model for this. And what does China consist of? It consists of state-directed capitalism with very few, but basically monopolistic enterprises run by the state, and the rest of the people more or less enthralled to this system. So if China's the model, we're going to see a great curtailment of rights, not only property rights, but rights of movement, rights of freedom of speech, freedom of association, and possibly freedom of religion. These are all things that are definitely at stake here, because that's what they have in mind with this stakeholder capitalism. This is a new system where they want to basically reduce everybody's prospects except for the very top, and have it directed at the top, and have everybody else basically on universal basic income or some sort of subsistence limit. Because they say we're consuming too much, it has to be vastly reduced. They actually talk about negative growth instead of GDP growing as a goal. They want negative growth. So if there's negative growth, you better believe that people can expect less income, and that income could come through the state.
I think it might even be worse than that, Michael. We see Bill Gates running around talking about depopulating the planet through vaccinations, and I think that your reproductive rights will be taken away as well. The rest of us at the bottom will be more like pets or slaves. They can put, a chip in your brain and vaccinate you and your health care, you have to get permission to get health care. They can do all sorts of things to you.
What's your thoughts on that?
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
When you see Gates saying that he wants to use vaccinations to reduce the population, I mean, that isn't eugenics. I don't know what is. That is to probably make some people sterile or infertile. How else can you read that? I mean, unless they mean they'll kill, the vaccines will actually kill people, which I don't think they mean. I don't think he means that. I think he means that it has something to do with fertility. Otherwise, why would he put those in direct connection with each other? And I have seen those quotes verbatim. That's exactly what he says.
There's a TED Talk. He says it. You can Google it. And there are women.
DuckDuckGo it.
Yeah, DuckDuckGo it. And there are women in Africa who say that they exchanged food for vaccines and now they're infertile.
Okay, and to both of you, so Susan, because I've heard that, but I've not sourced it. So you've sourced that. You've seen the TED Talk.
Yep.
And Michael, you said you have seen those quotes as well, verbatim. So both of you can say, yes, you have sourced those, and that is true. Those words are true?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. I was shocked when I saw it. You hear a lot of things about Bill Gates. You know, he is painted as a monster by many people. But when I read this in verbatim quotes, it is absolutely true that this is what he said. And so vaccinations as a means of reducing population is a very frightening prospect. So there's nothing going to make people more skeptical about vaccines than statements like that.
You think, hey, Michael, we need to go to break. And when we come back, I do want to talk about Bill Gates, what he created with Microsoft, the fact that I, just a regular person, can do all these things with my computer. It's pretty amazing. And how did he get from Mr. Creative that helped people have better lives to talking about a depopulation? It seems like if there's depopulation, then he's going to have less people with his product. But we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, I want to give a shout out to Castlegate Knife and Tool. They are another great partner of the Kim Munson Show. They're located in Sedalia, Colorado, and you can take 85 South, that Santa Fe turns into 85 in between Littleton and Castle Rock, and they're located right there in Sedalia. And with all that's going on, a little taste of Americana is a great thing. I love Sedalia. And so I'd recommend you take a road trip out there. If you can't do that, go to castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We will be right back. Susan Kochevar is in studio, and we're talking with Dr. Michael Rechtenwall. He was a professor at NYU, and clearly he loves the American idea. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Yes, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Susan Kochevar, she is an entrepreneur, owner of 88 Drive-In Theater, is in studio helping co-host. We are down to our last segment already with Dr. Michael Rechtenwall. And he is he was a professor of global liberal studies at NYU 2008 to 2019. He's the author of 11 books, and he is doing a series at Mises.org regarding the Great Reset. And the first one was published on December 11th. And Michael, before we went to break, I had a subjective question, and it's probably really a question I shouldn't ask. But I think people do. They scratch their heads. I talked to a friend of mine that said that because of Microsoft and the creativity and innovation of Bill Gates, she's been in the data business and information business for a long time, that it really created opportunity for her. And it's like, it's hard to believe that somebody that did that would also be thinking, you know, putting things out about depopulating the planet. Michael, I know that's a subjective question. Do you want to tackle that at all?
Yeah, I mean, what I think it means is that, what will happen here is that if this reset is put in place, which is already being undertaken and embraced by many world leaders, including Biden, what we're going to see is the loss of innovation. And of course, if there's less population, we're going to see shrinking markets. And basically, we're going to see kind of an aging population as well, obviously. We're going to see a kind of aging. And, you know, but what they have in mind on top of this is transhumanism.
Now, what's that?
Well, transhumanism is the transformation of human beings to a higher type. That's really what it means. But what they have in mind is what they'll call enhancements, but which will really be mechanisms for control. They'll install things in your brain, either nanobots or chips, in order to control behavior, and also to preclude it, to predict and preclude certain behaviors. So we're talking about a system where you'd be under technological control, in effect. They want to have, infertility for a vast number of people, and an aging population, which then would supposedly, according to them, be given life extension thanks to these new transhuman technologies that would vastly lengthen lifespans. But it probably won't. These technologies for life extension will most likely be reserved for the oligarchs. So they're looking at living a long time, depopulating the population and aging it out of existence, and replacing much of the labor force with robotics. That's really what it comes down to. I mean, I worked in robotics for 5 years. I know very well that much of what robotics is about is making human labor redundant, or that is unnecessary. So with robotics coming in, they're looking at the population and saying, basically, them for. We don't need them to work. We're going to have many of their positions filled by intelligent software agents or hard robots doing the labor. So this is really how it's all interconnected.
Okay, Michael Rechtenwald, first of all, it seems kind of out there. However, this whole year has been kind of out there. We've got about 4 minutes. What do we do? I mean, the American idea has this value of the individual and the individual having private property rights and people thriving and prospering in this idea of infinite possibility. And what you're talking about is a finite resources and finite things. What do we do? People that love this whole American idea and the love their neighbor and want good things for the next generation. What do we do?
Well, we have to reject it. We have to reject it boldly, and we have to assert, first of all, really sound economic principles and our personal liberties. We have to assert basically what has been the foundational ideals of the United States. That is freedom of speech, freedom of association, free enterprise, and basically every sacred foundational value that we've been basing our entire system on. And so that's really what's at stake. And how do we assert that? We have to demand our businesses be reopened. We have to get back to a flourishing economy. We have to get back to an entrepreneurial system. And, with Susan there, that really should strike a chord. That's what we need, is we need entrepreneurs. They think that they can do all the innovations themselves with a few technocrats and engineers and robots, but it will fall fallow. It will not work, because you can't create economic wealth without entrepreneurial innovation. So
this has
to be made clear. I wish there were people going to Davos this month. As a matter of fact, they're meeting again, who would assert this. That's why I'm writing to the Mises Institute, because this is our fundamental value of free enterprise. It's the real way of producing wealth.
Okay, Susan, quick comment. We've got just a couple of minutes left.
No, I totally agree with that. How completely arrogant, because I suppose they have money, or they think they're the pretty people, that they know better, that automatically grants them some status to tell the rest of the world. It's staggering to me that how little value they actually find in other people.
And Michael, I have to tell you, in some ways it's like, this seems like do-do-do-do-do-do stuff. But on the other hand, we're seeing it unfold right before us. And it didn't just happen. This World Economic Forum, they have been pushing these, as I mentioned, just those words, stakeholder. I was hearing them in the early 90s. But I'm grateful that the veil is off. We now see what is happening. We've got just a minute left. This has just been really fascinating, troubling, but shedding light on this is the first step towards us being able to address it. Dr. Rechtenwald, your final thought today for our listeners.
Yes, I mean, I just want to say that all this is in their language. This is Klaus Schwab saying all this in COVID-19, The Great Reset, and another book is The Fourth Industrial Revolution, Transhumanism. All this is in their words, so the veil is off. They're not disguising this any longer, and it is definitely a conspiracy. We're not conspiracy theorists. This is a conspiracy fact, and it is something we have to counter with vigor. So that's basically my view on it.
Okay, and you can find this, Dr. Michael Rechtenwald. These essays are in Mises.org. Michael, thank you so much. And I know that your third one is out as well. How many will you be printing, or do you know, or publishing?
It's probably about 5 to 7.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a few aspects I have to get to yet.
Okay. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Kim. Bye-bye.
And Susan, thank you for being in studio.
Thank you.
It was fascinating.
It was interesting.
George Washington said this. He says, experience has taught us that it is much easier to prevent an enemy from posting themselves than it is to dislodge them after they have got possession. And when the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. That was George Washington. My friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals and, like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.